Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14 is the verses of Scripture. And if you've heard this before, when you get this one, we'll move on to the next one. Said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The bottom line in life, you know, when a man works for another man, he expects to get paid, doesn't he? Whether it's that young man that starts out and it's his first job and he's making something like $60 a week, or to the businessman that makes something like $60,000 a week, or the retired couple who looks to the mail each month in order to try and find that pension check for them to live on. The law of life is simply this: that if a man works for another man, he is supposed to get paid for that work. Well, the same law of payment applies in the spiritual realm. We know that God always pays off. He pays off in two places. He pays off here and then in the hereafter. He pays off in two ways, punishment and reward. Judgment is one of the biggest topics in all the Word of God. Paul said that to that group of intellectuals at Athens, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. God guaranteed judgment when he raised Christ from the dead on the third day. Listen to the words of the tender-hearted Savior. He says, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Christ is simply saying that Sodom was a wicked city. It was a city of sin and perversion. But he goes on to say, but that those who know about Christ in this day and time will suffer more at the judgment than the people of Sodom if they reject Jesus Christ as personal Savior. In Matthew 12, 36, it says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account in the day of judgment. Then in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9, it says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all of these things God will bring you into judgment. In other words, you can live like you please. You can do what you want to. You can go where you want to go. You can just simply do anything that pleases you. But remember that one day you will face the Lord face to face, and you will give an account of the life that you have lived down here. Now, God does not always wait until the end of life in order to pay off. Sometimes we face judgment right here. I remember when I was growing up, the young lady that was a part of our youth group, and I've shared this before, But I remember she started to drift away and started to run with the wrong crowd. After a while, she stopped coming to church. We heard one Sunday morning that she was involved in a wreck and that she was drinking with the rest of them that were in the wreck. And the wreck was so violent that the beer can that she had literally buried up in her chest. You reap what you sow. You may intend to get things right. You may intend to change your life and turn everything around. But today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The young man says, I'm going to sow my wild oats, but somewhere down the road I'll get straight with the Lord. But the truth of the matter, the Bible says that we reap what we sow. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin must be paid for, not only here, but especially in eternity. Calvary is a picture of judgment. When I look at the cross, I see the Holy Son of God hanging there on that cross. He's dying, and the question is why? Now, he's not dying for his sins because he had committed none. He had done nothing wrong, never had an evil thought crossed his mind, never did he do anything wrong or sinful, but yet he is dying there. The Bible teaches us he who knew not sin was made sin for us. Now, Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he took our sins in his body on the tree, and he was dying there not for anything that he had done wrong, but he was dying for my sins and your sins. And I like to remind us of the fact that if you were the only person on the face of the earth, he would have died just for you. That's how important you are to God. He loves you. But I see him there dying upon the cross of Calvary. And he robes himself with the sins of all the world. And I see the Father turn his face from his Son. And darkness came over the face of the earth for 3 hours as he was enduring the wrath of Almighty God for the sins of the world. 3 hours of darkness when he hung on the cross. What a picture of judgment that is. That is, those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ will be cast into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a dark world when God turns his face from us. Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How awful it must have been for the Son of God to be hanging there on the cross, and the one that he was dying for, the sins of all the world, was being paid for. And because God hates sin, he turned his face from his Son. Darkness. The Bible tells us that those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ will be cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I do want to remind you this morning of the fact that that darkness simply symbolizes the fact that God will never call again. You know, we take it for granted that we'll hear the song, the invitation hymn, just as I am. But in hell, you'll never hear it. Neither will you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit of God on your heart to draw you to repentance. How awful it would be to come to the end of life's journey and take that final step out into eternity unprepared to meet God. Isn't it an awful thing to not be prepared to meet God? But our sins separate us from God. When a sinner goes into eternity lost into a devil's hell, he is forever lost. Well, the Christian's payday. In Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works." Brethren, we will be examined by the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment. Why do we do what we do? Why do you come to church? Your motives will be examined. Why do you serve? Why do you teach? Why do you give? Why do you do what you do? You see, it's not just that we go through the motions. We can do that. You know, we're kind of good at that. We know what to do, how to do. We've done it so much. But our motives will be examined. Do you do it because you love him? Do you love him this morning with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength? Do you love him? You see, we will stand before God to account. And he requires in stewards that a man be found faithful. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now, the crown is not given to those that take it easy, that coast, that kind of tread water. But those that are faithful unto death, the last step of life. We will receive an incorruptible crown. The crown is not for the man who runs poorly. You know, I was watching television yesterday, and I've always been an enthusiast of track. You know, I never was very fast myself. You know, they kidded me when I played softball that I ran like a faucet, too long in the same place. But you know, I like to watch them run. And I remember there was a question about who won the ladies' race. Arkansas was in sixth place overall in the national tournament finals. And Oregon won, but they were contested by Southern California because it looked like they might have bumped one another or something. But anyway, it didn't pan out, but they was all excited. You know, when the word finally came down, those girls were all there jumping and hollering and screaming, you know, because they won the crown. They won first. I don't know about you, but when I come to the time that I leave the walk of this life, I'm going to be excited to know that when I breathe my last air, my next breath is there with him. And that's where Brother Frank's at this morning. I'm leaving after service to go to Phoenix, Arizona. The dearest friend in this world to me, pastor friend, we have gone through so much together, is dying. And they have called hospice in, and he is trying to hang on. I'll be there about noon tomorrow. But you know, we had a friend, mutual friend, that was dying in here in Fort Smith, Richard Gallant. Some of you may know Richard, but he had kidney problems, And he was a good friend of Paul. He ministered out in Arizona too, and he came back to Poto, Oklahoma. To make a long story short, he was dying, and Paul and Richard kind of had a little thing going about, Well, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. That's what I'm going to tell you. Paul, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And if it wasn't for that hope, well, we couldn't stand it when somebody left. But you know, when they die in the Lord, it's time for celebration. Time for rejoicing. Because a child of God has gone home and they've received the reward. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a blessing. There's the sinner's payday. The man who goes through life without Christ will one day stand in the judgment without hope. The one who died for you will be sitting on the throne. And he will judge you out of the things that are written in the book. Your punishment will be set for all eternity. There are no second chances. Sinners that go into hell will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I know folks want to soften this thing about hell to make it not nearly as bad. I'm going to tell you it's worse than you can imagine. Hell is real. And we need to be prepared to make heaven our home and shun that place God wants us to. He's made provision for us too. Some will rely upon their good works. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It reminds me of folks that I know they will say something like this, Lord, I've done this in your name and I've done that in your name. You've got to let me in. But he opens up another book. And he says, I don't find your name there. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, the Bible tells us that for whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. You must be born again to make heaven your home. Jesus says to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must. Not maybe it's a good thing, or he said you must be born again. It doesn't matter what they say if their name is not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know what the last words that a sinner will hear? The very last words that they'll ever hear in this life, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I do not know you. Will you bow with me for prayer?